Well, first of all, pray for a very blessed new year for all of you. Happy New Year to everybody. As we usher in this new year, it's a new beginning. And I have a New Year's resolution at the end of the homily for you to consider. I just want to say a couple words about our Holy Father, our Emeritus, Pope Benedict the 16th. As you know by now, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, if you hadn't heard, he did die, it would have been yesterday, early morning yesterday, our time. And so we entrust him to the merciful hands of God. I find him to be very prophetic. He famously said that in the future, this is before he was Pope, I believe, he wrote that the church in the future will be small. What do we have now, 1.1 billion Catholics? That's just raw numbers. But he said the church is going to be small. And he's both a theologian and a German. And by definition, then, he's very precise. And he could have easily chosen the word smaller. But to go from, on a scale of 1 to 10, to go from 10 to 9, you're smaller. But if you're small, you're probably somewhere south of 5. And we're seeing, tragically, a hemorrhage of practicing Catholics today. For a lot of reasons. That's a whole other discussion. But he also said, and I referenced this in a homily here a while back, because I heard it from Bishop Barron, Pope Benedict said that the church does three basic things. The church praises God, the church serves the poor, and the church evangelizes. And I don't know if he had this in mind. He couldn't have, I don't think, because he was Pope then and we didn't have Pope Francis. But if you think about the focal points of the three last popes that we've had and have, John Paul was an evangelizer. He went to every corner of the world, traveled extensively, and was in relationship in a very special way. Evangelization requires relationship as a foundation. Benedict the 16th had a focal point on the liturgy, the worship of God, prayer. He focused a lot of his attention on that. And Pope Francis, as we know, focuses largely on service of the poor. All three of those things that the church does, we've seen focused on our last three popes. So we entrust him to the merciful hands of God and thank God for his spiritual fatherhood. And if you have a father, you've got to have a mother. And we honor today Mary, the mother, the Holy Mother of God. Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, this is going to get a little technical. And I'm going to try to do honor to Pope Benedict XVI because he taught with great clarity. I'm not a teacher. I'm not. I don't teach systematically. But I'm going to try to take you. We have to know what we believe. And we got to know why we believe what we believe. Because if we don't have knowledge of what, the whys behind the whats, then we reduce our belief down to either just routine and or feeling. And in either case, that is a shallow faith. And I'm not suggesting anybody's got a shallow faith. What I am saying, though, is if that's where you allow it to stay, then the sun can burn the seed of faith very quickly. So we got to try to understand the whys behind the whats. Always go back to Genesis. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to show you that it is necessary that we accept and call Mary the Mother of God. I want to read for you the first three verses of Scripture from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss while a mighty wind swept over the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Did you recognize the Trinity in those three verses? Where's the Father? The Creator. In the beginning, God created. The Holy Spirit is easy to find. He's the wind over the waters. Remember that from Pentecost, the great wind, one of the signs of the Holy Spirit. But where is the second person of the Trinity? Then God said. The second person of the Trinity is the Word. How did God create? Through His Word. God spoke all things into being, including you and me. Now go with me to the John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. What you see with John's Gospel is that it echoes the beginning of Genesis. And it states, in the beginning, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. I know this by heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does that tell us? That the Word, the second person of the Trinity, is God. And then in verse 14 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." How did the Word become flesh? By a word. Her word. Fiat. Yes. With her word, God took on her human nature and became man while remaining God. While remaining God. And we call him Jesus. Now, how can we claim that he remained God? Because he said so. Did he not say, "The Father and I are one"? And the Jews wanted to kill him. They said he's made himself out to be God. Yes, he did, because he is. Did he also not say, "Before Abraham was, I am"? That's the divine name. Remember with Moses in the burning bush? Remember that? "Who shall I say sent me?" Tell them, "I am sent you." That's the divine name, and Jesus claims it for himself because he is God. And finally, on a material level, he proves that he's God because he does things that only God could do. He makes the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, and he raises people from the dead. So this Word became flesh and dwelt among us, remaining God while taking on our human nature. So therefore, we can ask these questions. Is Jesus God? Yes, we've just established that. Is Mary the mother of Jesus? Yes. Well, if that's true, then therefore Mary is the mother of God. It does not mean, and this is what our Protestant brothers and sisters, this is where they go awry. They think that we're saying that Mary created God. Well, no, she's a creature. But God used Mary to bring God into our human existence with his human nature. Okay, so now here's a profound question. So what? Okay, Father, good. You got your theology down. Thanks for sharing. What does it matter? If we will not accept Mary as the mother of God, then we cannot accept that we are children of God. It's that simple. If we cannot accept Mary as the mother of God, then we cannot accept Jesus as God. It's that simple. Now here's where it gets really personal for every one of us. You remember that scene in John's Gospel? Jesus is on the cross. Who's at the foot of the cross? It says at the foot of the cross were the mother of Jesus, her sister, Jesus had an aunt, Mary the wife of Clopas, two different people, and Mary Magdalene. Who else is at the foot of the cross? It's not what it says. I heard some people say, John, it's not what it says. The disciple whom Jesus loved. If you'll notice that John never refers to himself as John in his gospel. He always refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, is he the only disciple that Jesus loved? Well, of course not. Of course not. What he's doing is he's using himself as what's called a corporate personality. Not a multiple personality, but a corporate personality. One person represents a large number. In this case, all of us. Who else? What are the disciples that Jesus loved? Peter, James, Andrew, Matthew, the tax collector, and you and me. Because you are a disciple of Jesus. That's why you're here. And so, if John used his name, then everything said to him and about him in the gospel would be only for him. But because he says he's a disciple who Jesus loved, that represents all of us. And so at the foot of the cross, what is he here? He and Mary. Woman, behold your son. But because it represents all of us, it can mean daughter too, and it does. Behold your son. And then he turns to the disciple whom he loved and says, behold your mom. Behold your mother. No mother, no life. Isn't that true? No mama, no life. We have our earthly mother who gives us earthly life. Praise be to God for their openness to life. But this life will end. But we also have the Mother of God, who is eternal, who brings us life that is eternal. This is why we not just call her Mary, the Mother of God, as a title. We call her that because that means she's our mama too. So here's my proposition, or my New Year's resolution for you to consider. In this new year, 2023, make it your point to honor the fourth commandment in a special way. To honor your father and your mama, Mary.